97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Excited for our next guest, John Morris, Baylor play-by-play voice on the Smart Rain guest line. Kind enough to carve out a few moments for us. A lot of storylines with Baylor in regards to Utah and BYU. Charlie Brewer are going to play quarterback at the University of Utah. And, of course, BYU taking on Baylor. So, John, kind enough to join us. How are you, sir?
Hey, John.
Scott, hey, it's great to be on with you guys. There are a lot of storylines for us to talk about in July, aren't there?
Well, let's and Dave Aranda, former defensive coordinator at Utah State as well. So let's talk about his crew and expectations for year number two with Dave Aranda. How is this team expected to fare this season?
You know, I think much better. I felt so bad for Dave last year because it was his first year as a head coach anywhere. And look at what he had to go through. He had no spring practice, had all the COVID protocols. He was getting to know his players by Zoom. You know, that's not how you want to get to know your team. And then their parents the same way. So he was really, you know, fighting with one arm or maybe both arms tied behind his back last year, and Baylor went 2-7. But I think this year you're going to see a much more representative Baylor product on the field and a Dave Aranda coach team. They've been through spring. They've been through a full summer now. And I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a much better season for Baylor, a much better product for the Bears this year.
Well, let me tell you, you've got two brilliant coaches coming your way. I was able to get to know Jeff Grimes and Coach Mateos really well while they were here with BYU. And those are two brilliant offensive front minds. I'm interested to know from your point of view, what are fans' expectations? What are Baylor's expectations? What are your expectations of the change Grimes can bring to this Baylor offense?
Yeah, and you don't have to tell me about those guys. In just a short time of them being here in Waco, man, are they impressive. So I think Baylor is really fortunate to have Coach Grimes here as the OC and Coach Mateos here as our offensive line coach. And you know, quite honestly, those are, you know, areas that need to be better for Baylor this year, for the team to be better. Baylor was very, very pedestrian offensively last year and just never seemed to get into a real rhythm, a real groove offensively. And you mentioned Charlie Brewer, who's there at Utah. I don't blame Charlie one bit. I mean, Charlie was doing what the coaches were asking him to do. It just didn't work, you know, for whatever reason. And credit Dave Aranda, even after that year, that first year, he made wholesale changes on his offensive staff. I think he saw that often also and knew he needed to make changes. So that's how Coach Grimes and Coach Mateos got here. Expectations you ask about, I think Baylor is and Baylor fans are just really excited about having some punch in the offense this year. And our defense returns 8 or 9 starters, so I think it's going to be very, very solid. They just need an offense that can move the ball, possess the ball, and get some points on the board to match the way the defense is expected to play.
You mentioned Charlie Brewer. What kind of quarterback is the University of Utah getting? And were Baylor fans surprised that he decided to transfer away?
Well, they're getting a great guy, number one. I love Charlie Brewer. Hated to see him go, but I sure understood. I think he just needed a change of scenery, you know, and I'm glad he landed there. It seemed like a really good spot for him. Charlie is going to give Utah fans and everybody that watches them, he's going to give them everything he has. He plays really hard. He's very smart. Great family, you know, family history. I'm sure you guys know that, you know, at the quarterback position. And Charlie fits right in line with that. So I wish him nothing but the best. I wish he was still here with us. But, you know, for whatever reasons, you know, he's moved on. And I hope he does well for the Utes this year.
How tough is this Big 12 conference going to be this year?
I think really tough. I mean, you started the top couple of top 10 teams, Oklahoma and Iowa State. Everybody's picking them 1 and 2. And then beyond that, it seems like, and we just did our Big 12 Media Days last week, it seems like there's kind of a jumble from 3 to 9. You know, Texas is up there. How good's TCU? You know, Texas Tech, what about them? And that's Coach Matt Wells, who was at Utah State and did so well there. So it's kind of a jumble there, and I'm afraid people have Kansas, you know, pegged in at number 10 this season with a coaching change. But I think the league, really top to bottom, or maybe 1 through 9, is going to be really, really good and really competitive, to the point that it'd be hard to predict, you know, outcomes of games until we get going.
So anybody that's followed the career of Dave Aranda knows that great defense seems to follow him wherever he goes. Talk about this Baylor defense and what you expect out of them.
Really good. As I said, 8 or 9 starters back, and they were very much the heart and soul of the team last year. Any success we had, and it was only 2 wins, but we were in some other games, was due to the defense. Played Oklahoma, a team that won the league last year, and Lincoln Riley said that Baylor defense played OU as well as anybody did all season long. So there's a big guy that's a newcomer to the defensive front this year. He transferred from LSU to Baylor, one of those 6'4", 350-pound space heaters in the middle. His name is Apu Ika. And I'm really excited to see him play. I saw him in a little bit in the spring and couldn't take my eyes off of him, really, because a guy like that just demands a double team, and that opens things up, you know, for the linebackers to come in behind him. So I think the defense is going to be very, very solid. You guys know Dave's, reputation as a defensive mind, and I think that's going to play out on the field this year.
You know, I look at BYU's defensive front. You know, you look at their front 7. You could look at their linebackers, and you could give their linebackers a good rating. The defensive line has a lot of question marks. I'm worried about teams that can come in and really move on the ground with a versatile running attack. Exactly what Jeff Grahams is able to put on the field. I'm curious, your front 5 offensively. Your offensive line, I've seen Jeff Grahams has been here in the state of Utah putting some offers on some of the best offensive linemen here. He knows there's some really good talent here. But I'm curious what you've got on the front 5, and as a running game, a running attack, do you have a double-headed monster back there, or what is your run game potentially going to look like? Because I think that could really play in that game against BYU.
Yeah, good question, and you guys know better than I do that that's what Coach Grimes and Coach Mateos want to do, you know, with that wide zone. So you start with the offensive line. They're putting a lot of stock in that. I'll tell you this, our numbers are much better, just the numbers in the offensive line and the defensive line this year than it was last year, and so that's a good sign. I think they can build some depth there. It was fun to watch through the spring. They really cross-trained these guys more than I've ever seen before. You know, for instance, Connor Galvin is probably our best offensive lineman. He's a left tackle, but on any given day, he could be at left guard or center or right guard or right tackle. You know, they just move those guys around, which is really good. They want to find the best 5 and put them out there and then find the next best 5 behind them to create depth. So, to answer your question, we need to be better in the offensive line, and I think we will be, and the depth will be significantly better. And we've got some running backs that are, for the most part, or a couple of them are coming off off-season injuries and surgeries. Craig Williams, Squirrel Williams, is coming back. And he was just starting to find himself last year. Tristan Ebner is back. He's an all-purpose guy that can flex out as a receiver if he needs to out of the backfield. But I think we've got some good talent guys. We've got to identify a quarterback. But for the offensive line, they will be much better this year than last year.
So, you know, when you were talking about that, I just pulled up some of the rushing numbers, and Baylor ranked 123rd in the country in 2.7 yards an attempt. Is that
that's not good.
Not good, and not to place blame, but is that it? Do you look at that offensive line and some of the issues there on that offensive line as the result of that, or was the running backs bear some brunt on that as well?
Yeah, probably a little bit of both. And then again, just the system wasn't working. You know, the offensive coordinator we had here last year, he just, you know, for whatever reason, it just didn't work. And again, we were very pedestrian, didn't scare anybody offensively, and that's tough in this league. There's a lot of high-powered offenses in this league. And, you know, if they can't do something, if they can't control the ball a little bit and control the clock, you know, at the very least, then you're in trouble. So That was a big part. I mean, you look at those numbers, and then you think 2-7, maybe maybe that's pretty accurate where we should have finished as we did last year.
It's going to be such a great storyline. I think this is going to be a great matchup, this Baylor-BYU game, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun for them to come out there and fight their butts off. I want to get your thoughts. You were just talking about the Big 12 Media Day that you guys just had. How is Steve Sarkisian being received as the new coach of the Texas Longhorns?
Yeah, good question. Number one, it's Texas. So it's, a lot of attention around the University of Texas, especially after a coaching change. And you think, what does this guy have that maybe Tom Herman didn't have before him? He was, to me, he was very impressive in the media days. And I heard the general session that he had with all the writers, and then he sat down with us one-on-one for a few minutes. And to me, he's very impressive. Seems like he's very level-headed and knows what he's getting into. Stepping into that job at the University of Texas, I think you got to know what you're getting into there, the expectations of Longhorn fans. And, they've got all the resources in the world, and their fans know that, and they think, why can't we win at the highest level every year with all these resources? So you got to be able to handle that, and that's one of the things that struck me with Coach Sarkisian was he seems very level-headed. He just seems like he's the guy that can handle that kind of pressure on him.
I always think it's fascinating because I think we, on the outside looking in, and you'll see some of these local schools, snag some kids from Texas, and we're like, Texas is a hotbed. But I don't think we truly appreciate what the talent level is at the high school level in the state of Texas, where that state produces so many Division I athletes year in and year out. What's it like in that state with you got Baylor and Texas and Texas Tech and Texas A&M and everybody else that's fighting for recruits? I got to imagine recruiting is such a huge topic there day in and day out, pretty much, 365 a year.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, every day of the year it is. And I'm biased, but I just think Texas high school football is the best. I think we've got outstanding high school coaches in this state. They are having right now the Texas High School Coaches Association convention is going on in San Antonio right now. And there are 13,000 coaches there. So, kind of match that against not just numbers, but match, quality there against any other state. And, there's 10 Division I schools in this state, too, and everybody else from around the country comes to Texas to recruit. So it is very fertile recruiting ground. I just can't say enough about the high school coaches in the state of Texas, here in Central Texas, and really all around. They are really, really good. And then you've got the talent base to pull from. That 7-on-7 has been really huge. Really, I think a lot of teams have changed their offenses since the advent of that 7-on-7, which takes place in the summers. So, yeah, very good talent here, and I think everybody knows it. Everybody comes into Texas to recruit.
Yeah, they do. Out of the top 20 top talent in the state of Texas, how many is Texas retaining? The state and the Division I programs there.
So the state, not just the University of Texas?
No, just the
okay,
entire
the whole state.
Yep.
Probably, and this is just going to be a guess on my part, probably half, maybe 10 to 12 of those 20.
Okay, so
that
if you
may
are still
be high,
leaving.
Maybe, what's that?
So if you are still leaving the state.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because, again, everybody comes in here. But, our pitch here at Baylor is, hey, we're right here in the heart of Texas, and your family can come see you play. That's a big plus. And, there's some really good programs in the state of Texas trying to keep these guys at home.
Well, we certainly appreciate your time. Looking forward to chatting with you maybe a little closer to that BYU game. Good luck this year, and look forward to talking to you again here soon.
Great stuff.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on. It's great to visit with you. We look forward to that game. I'm excited about it. I remember Baylor and BYU back in the mid-'80s. We had a couple of great games against each other then, early 80s, I think 83 and 84, or maybe 84 and 85. But I'm looking forward to this, and you guys come see us. What's your plans to come to Waco in October?
Well, I got to imagine. I mean, look, you got some great barbecue in Austin. I got to imagine the barbecue scene there in Waco has got to be pretty good as well.
Come on now. Now, why do you think there's only barbecue in Austin? we've got our share here. We could give you something to talk about barbecue-wise.
I love it. We got to make it happen for sure. Thanks so much for your time.
We'll come see you, John.
Thanks, guys. Right. Have a great
day. There you go. Probably shouldn't have worked in Austin and barbecue with him.
I can tell that upset him. He's like, wait a second. Because Waco's notorious for good food, right?
Well, you know, you hear Austin. Everybody talks about Austin. And, you know, there's every, you know, there, whether it's Franklin's or there's a bunch of them down there in Austin. And I just haven't heard a lot of Waco coming up with famous barbecue places.
But it is.
I'm sure there are. I just.
Greatest cut of beef I've ever had in my life was in Dallas-Fort Worth. It was, and it stands out amongst all of
really?
Them. Yes.
What was it?
It was some type of cubed beef that was grilled and then laid into like a light mushroom gravy. But the mushroom gravy wasn't overbearing. It was still about the softness of the beef, and it was a pretty heavy marbled. It had quite a bit of like a juicy, sweet and salty fat in it. I don't know what they did. I don't know if they just raised this cow on the finest foods I don't know if they didn't let him out. It wasn't veal, but it had that softness, that texture of veal. Oh, it was so good. I think about it all the time. And I'm like, because I've tried.
Do you remember where it was at?
Yeah, it was the Triple H, which is right down by Billy Bob's. Yeah, you know,
the famous rodeo inside the restaurant.
The famous rodeo inside the restaurant bar or whatever that thing is.
Yeah.
Right next to that. And it was a horseshoe, and it had three H's across it. And I'll never forget, I just stumbled in there. I think I was in the AFL at the time because it was. And I think about all
your
the
mouth's
time.
Watering.
Yeah, it was so good, Scott. So good. It's ridiculous how much I think about it. A big thanks to John. That was some insight that I really needed with Baylor. And you know, you brought up the numbers, just 2.7 yards per carry. You know that the first thing Grimes is going to fix is that running game.
2.7 yards a carry, ranked 123rd.
And we all know that. That Jeff Grimes knows BYU's areas of weakness on the defensive side.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be kind of that stretch and power look. Now, I think that Fatea and Mahe and Summers and those guys, I think they can deal with a certain amount of power. But if you can spread gaps and hit high-speed downhill-style runs, and we've seen some of the end-around work that Jeff Grimes has worked well. Yeah. Was it Wisconsin that he beat him up with?
Yep.
With the fly sweeps and those kinds of things, jet sweeps. Those are the types of things that could hurt BYU if they really got speed in the backfield.
There's two jobs in the Big 12 where you feel a lot of pressure. Number one is a defensive coordinator. It's like being a DC in the AFL right now in that conference. Mm-hmm. Everybody's scoring all kinds of points. And then a lot of pressure is an OC because you got to keep up. You have to have an offense that can score 35 to 37 points a game.
And I don't know if Jeff Grimes is that guy.
You're going to have to be.
I think Jeff Grimes is kind of a, hey, we're gonna power this thing out. You know, I think a lot of the air raid that BYU had was two things last year. It was Zach Wilson being as good as he was at throwing those backside shoulders and throwing, I mean, really creative routes, and Aaron Roderick being aggressive in the air game. I don't think that was Jeff Grimes. I think Grimes is like more like, we're going to gear up with our bigs and we're going to make it really difficult. We're going to control the ball. That just seems more to Grimes to me. Yeah. And I think that's what he's going to probably try to do to BYU.
Live here at Premier Wave, all we need you to do is call 385-360-WAVE. That's 9283. Set up your appointment. Come in here because if you're struggling with ED, there's a lot of guys out there that are thinking, okay, well, I'm not quite what I was when I was 25, but you know, I'll cut out some carbs, I'll do some sit-ups, and everything will be fine again. That's probably not the case when you're going down that path.
Nope, because what happens is you start losing blood vessels. Everybody does as they age, and you need the blood vessels to get an erection, and so we restore that normal blood flow by creating more blood vessels.
not every situation is the same, and so it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of treatment. You customize to each individual and the struggles that they have.
Correct. You know, erectile dysfunction is a medical condition, just like any other medical conditions, and so not every treatment is for everybody. So we offer complete solutions here, more than one treatment available, and sometimes we'll combine solutions because they work the best.
And ultimately, there may be a guy out there, but okay, maybe I'm 20% down from where I was. You know, like things are still chugging along and you're doing okay, but it's not quite the same. Now, that's probably the time where you want to address the issue, right?
Exactly. It's, you know, preventative. In fact, I tell people if you're just a little bit down, come in and get back to normal. And if you're normal, you know, get bigger and stay normal or stay extra normal.
There you go.
Along that discussion, you guys were, you know, discussing where's the beef. Well, here's the beef here.
Oh, man, I got so many jokes. I can't. 2505 East, 3300 South. By the way, we got a ton of jazz gear. Come by and grab that jazz gear and get some information. Or you can just call 385-360-WAVE. That's 385-360-9283. Make that phone call right now. Let's get you set up with an appointment and get you going. It's all right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Rises and fires for three.
The playoffs may be over for the Utah Jazz.
You're outstanding.
But the season never ends on the Zone Sports Network. From the NBA draft to free agency and on to the summer league, the Zone will be with the Jazz every step of the way as the Jazz front office builds for the future. Your exclusive home of Utah Jazz basketball is right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. It's all brought to you by Zero Res. Get those carpets clean, $33 per room, 801-288-9376. That's 801-288-9376. I've just been Googling barbecue places in Waco. They've got some good ones.
Do they?
Yeah.
How can we tell until we try them?
I know. We're just going to have to do a road trip.
I wouldn't mind road trip into that game.
Road trip into Waco, Texas?
Oof. Through an airplane, maybe.
Yeah.
Wouldn't make that drive. But I don't know. You just don't hear enough about it.
Think of all that hands-free eating you could do.
It's about the only thing that good that would come of it.
That's only a 20-hour and 5-minute drive.
Yeah, no thanks. That's further than Nebraska. I wouldn't be doing that one overnight. What, Nebraska was 15 hours? 14 hours? When we
so
made
imagine
that, road
trip? 15 of those hours playing Depeche Mode.
Depeche Mode got us through it, bud. Depeche Mode carried us through the longer stretch of...
It was 12 hours.
Nebraska was only 12 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 20 is a whole different beast. You get into Texas, and it's like 20 hours from the edge of Texas to anywhere.
I know, right?
It's a miserable drive.
Well, I mean, going into Lubbock, because Utah State played a couple games there last year, and there is nothing around Lubbock. Like, flying into Lubbock.
Oh, they had that nice restaurant you were at.
I don't remember a nice restaurant in Lubbock.
Coach Wells home, I believe.
Yeah.
that's where you had your best meal.
That was a good meal. Uh-huh. It's out in the middle of nowhere. You can't fly. I mean, flying into it's a pain in the rear end. There's nowhere, like, because sometimes if you got a hard city to fly into, then you find a city and you just drive in. But, I mean, Albuquerque or Austin were, like, the two closest cities, and even they were, like, 6 or 7 hours away. Like, it was a nightmare. I don't know how you recruit to that place.
I don't know either, but Matt – I'm hoping that Matt can get it.
Oh, I do too. Absolutely.
But when you take that job, that you, like, you have to have that in your mind, right? Right? Like, how am I going to recruit here? Because to recruit here and be able to compete, that's why Texas Tech is just every year it seems like a struggle.
Yeah. All right. Time to get to the good. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Hey, your girl got it done. Got her W.
She did. Misha Tate got the win over the weekend, beating Marion Renault. And it was a really good fight. Misha was fantastic, kept the distance, controlled the fight. And then in the third round was able to get Marion down to the ground, then ground and pound her until the official stopped it. I was really happy to see her story, you know, her having her two kids, and that was fantastic. And I was really happy to see her get that win, and it was really nice to see her back in the octagon. But I came out of that fight thinking to myself, don't get ahead of yourself, Misha.
Yeah.
Because there are some amazing women in that division that I think would just destroy her right now. And she's in the best shape I've ever seen her.
Right? Really?
Yes. She you could tell she has put her life into getting her body back into recovery and to being ready for that fight at the age of 30, what is she, 34 or 35? You could tell that she'd put everything she had into it, but that division is so stacked with amazing talent, including the one that holds the belt, Amanda Nunes, who's nobody wants to fight her. Nobody wants to fight her. She's hurting people. Like, she's just one of the most dominant and incredible forces I've seen. And I don't think the UFC does enough to promote Nunes and what she's able to do. Because she's more dominant than Ronda Rousey was. But how much did they promote Ronda Rousey? Rousey was
she was the golden child there for a while.
Yeah, she was the big woman on campus for a long time. And everybody talked about her. And everybody.
She not marketable? Like, why? Like, is she not good in interviews? Or
I don't know. I don't know why she doesn't. Because you don't hear Amanda Nunes as much as you heard Ronda Rousey, right?
Not at all.
You know, Amanda Nunes is she's married to an incredible woman. She's, from what I understand, has a new child. She's extremely accomplished. I would say one of the more kind and genuine people I have ever seen in an interview. Like, I absolutely fell in love with her in her post-fight press conference on this last fight. And then she's more dominant. She dominates. She's more dominant than Ronda Rousey was. She's more dominant than Cyborg, if you remember Cyborg.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, so I would just say
she's no Kat Zingano, though.
Well, no, not in my eyes.
Yeah,
Misha Tate and Kat Zingano and Gina Carano are the standard of women fighting, in my opinion.
That's why you need to watch what's our show, Lloyd? What's the one that Misha Tate, who you just mentioned?
Gina The Mandalorian.
Carano. Mandalorian.
Yep,
she's in that.
Who?
Gina Carano. Is that her? How you say her name?
Yeah, Gina.
Well, I don't think she's going to be in there anymore.
Oh, that's right. She got booted.
Yeah, she.
She got fired.
She got a little political.
No. Gina Carano.
Yeah.
The fighter.
Yes.
Yeah. She's been retired from fighting. I don't know what she's up to now.
Well, she was acting, and she did a pretty good job too. In that Mandalorian, but then they got sideways with her, and she got booted.
You're positive that it's the same Gina Carano?
Yes.
Look, I'm saying Johnny? It. Johnny's saying it. Lloyd's saying it.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'm wrong. What did she do?
She was, I don't know, she had a gun and fought people, you know.
No. To get booted.
Oh, yeah. She had
some. The storyline.
Yeah, that'll get you booted.
She was dumb, some dopey space character.
Yeah, exactly.
Fired an electric gun or something.
Yep. That's about it. she made some political posts that got some people fired up. She got canceled.
Oh, so she was a canceled victim.
Yeah, she was a canceled victim.
Well, those are always lovely.
All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Well, next time you're upset and you have a baseball in your hand and you want to throw it at a player, think otherwise. A New York Yankee fan who drilled Red Sox star Alex Verdugo in the back with a baseball over the weekend is banned from attending a Major League Baseball game. Not just this season, not just next season, but forever. A lifetime ban. Yankees and MLB officials confirmed the decision on Sunday after a fan hurled a ball at Verdugo from his seat in left field during the Boston Yankees game. Verdugo tossed a baseball into the crowd to give a souvenir to a young fan, but seconds later, a man in a Yankee shirt heaved it back at him when he wasn't looking. Jeez.
Hit him right in the back.
Forever.
How long can I not go to the park?
Forever. He was upset because he's like, look, I just gave you a free baseball. You should be happy. I shouldn't be taking a heater in the back.
It's one of my favorite things when the outfielders just toss it over the wall, whether it's a home or away team, right?
Yeah.
It's a great souvenir. I have seen guys throw it back onto the field.
Yeah, like you give a, you know, you catch a home run and you're at home and the visiting team hits it. It's a, you know, some places tradition to hurl it back out on the field.
Yeah.
That's fine.
But this guy hurled it back and hit the guy right in the back. I did see that this Red Sox star outfielder, Alex, was beside himself.
Hey, not happy about
it. No, he was beside him. They couldn't. They took two guys to hold him back. He wanted to get up in the stands and beat the tar out of the guy. They identified the guy pretty quickly, and they were able to yank him out of there pretty quickly. And I'm sure that he's not real happy about the news that it's not just that one location. That'd be all the parks.
Yeah.
Like in that movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? When he gets chucked out of the Woolworth and they tell him never to come back. And his buddy says, now, would that be all the locations or just that one? And he's like, all the locations. You know, being blocked from all major league parks would be tough. I don't know. It's not like they're really going to be able to. They can pull season tickets and they can maybe watch for you a little bit. But if you buy a ticket off the street, head to the park, they can't stop you from doing that. They're not going to be out there checking all 32,000 of you.
I wouldn't imagine, but I wouldn't recommend going and for the sake of getting caught, because at that point you get trespassing charges.
Yeah, you could find yourself in a little bit of trouble. What you have to do at that point is just talk yourself into hating Major League Baseball and not being a fan anymore.
Which, if you watch enough baseball, it's not that hard to do.
Call me. I'll give you some hints. Some tips.
I'm kidding. We like baseball.
Did you say we? I struggle with it.
I know you do.
Every once in a while, but we talk about the more pertinent things.
I know. And I watch a lot of postseason baseball. It's just regular season, middle of July.
Okay.
I have a hard time with it.
Football and basketball aside, what would be, and all entertainment included, what would be the most devastating thing to be locked out of forever? Would it be some of the Broadway productions? I know you guys like the theater.
That sounded like a real.
I'll just say it. I'll just say it. How about Paradise? Imagine being locked out of Paradise.
Oh, you shut your mouth.
No, Scotty and I don't ever get unruly there.
Forever.
But I could see Scotty like hurling a popcorn ball onto the stage and booing somebody and being jacked from Hell Theater for forever.
You're out. Don't ever come back.
What would it be?
I don't know. There's nothing I go to enough. Like, I'm just a homebody. I'd rather just – it'd probably be the NBA.
NBA would be heartbreaking, man.
So many great opportunities. So many
– Do you think that this penalty fits the crime? The crime fits the penalty?
Yeah. You can't be doing that.
Forever ban?
Forever ban.
From all parts?
Yeah. And then, look, we're in a day and age, too, where you have to bring the hammer down now, too.
It's pretty permanent.
Well, that's what forever kind of means.
Like a tattoo. Never going away.
Ain't no going away from that.
I just think it's a little harsh. But okay. Hopefully everybody sees it.
Okay, what if he would have missed? Like, he's being penalized for throwing it too
well.
He
would have been back in the park next week.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. If that thing hits on the field next by him, he's in the park next week. It's just he hit him.
Can't be plunking people in the back.
I can't do it.
Okay,
no,
look,
cool.
I'm not condoning anything that happened there, but it is kind of, I don't want to say funny, but like, imagine like you throw a fan, you know, ball, and you're like, oh, I've got a fan for life.
Yeah.
I know. Like, I know there were rivals and we hate each other, but I just gave that kid a ball.
Yeah.
And some old man or some dude takes it from him and beans you in the back with it.
Yeah, that would be horrible.
I can understand why he was ticked.
I would lose my mind.
Yeah. All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
Things are falling apart for the Olympics, Scotty.
It's not great.
American tennis star Coco Gauff is out. She tested positive for COVID. And we're starting to see different rumors swirl. There's one gymnast in particular here from the state of Utah. In fact, will be a part of Utah's Red Rocks here coming up soon. Kara Eaker, who has also tested positive for COVID. Now, there's a couple things that I want to mention with this because it's more of a local story in regards to the Olympics and COVID. First and foremost, I want to mentioned that Kara, by all accounts, Kara was vaccinated.
Yep.
And by all accounts, she has zero symptoms. So those are two really positive things that we need to look at. And we also need to look at that and say, all right, well, you can still pick up this virus when you're vaccinated. And the way they're handling these Olympics, they don't care because they're putting her on a 14-day isolation. That's according to her coach, Al Fong. They're going to put her on a 14-day isolation. And that's with a vaccination. That's with zero symptoms. She is still going to be put through that very stringent protocol. But, Scotty, I know you're seeing all the buzz with what's happening in the Olympics. Which car dealership just pulled all of their...
Toyota.
Toyota just pulled all of their Olympic advertising. Which, that's going to sting.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. So you've got, all, you know, this... And I know I just kind of brushed over it, but this this tennis star, this Coco Gauff that got that was tested positive, she's 17, and I know people are like, "Oh, a 17-year-old eliminated from representing the country in tennis." Well, she's 17. This girl upset at the age of 15, she beat Venus Williams.
Yeah.
At the age of 15, and I think she was in the quarterfinals of Wimbledon. And of the French Open as well. So this girl is a phenom and now can't represent the country with the positive COVID test. And this is happening.
Yeah, and this is a problem. I shouldn't say a problem. This is when you have that kind of extensive testing. This is why I would encourage every Division I athlete out there to get vaccinated. I get it. It's your right. I don't want to hear the backlash. You can do whatever you want. But just know, and we talked about this last week, if you don't get vaccinated, you will be subject to this kind of testing. And you could be completely asymptomatic. You can be completely fine. You can feel great. But you can still test positive for it. And if you do test positive, you will not be playing that game. You will be forced on all the protocols and all the where you have to quarantine and all that stuff. So, but if you get vaccinated, you won't be tested. So, and then you won't get quarantined and then you won't miss games. So the moral of the story is if you want to make sure you play 12 games this year or 13 or whatever the case is with bowl games and championship games, you should probably get the jab.
Because they don't test you.
Because they won't test you.
Because understand, you could still test positive with that vaccine, but they don't.
But they won't be testing you. So again, if you want to play and you want to make sure your season doesn't get disrupted, you probably should get the jab.
It's a fine line to walk, really, isn't it? I mean, as an athlete, I just know how egotistical a college athlete's mind, the way their brain works, is. I was that egotistical. I am invincible, man. I am a walking brick house, and nothing can bring me down.
And the likelihood of an athlete, let's say a finely tuned specimen, under 10% body fat, the chances of them having any serious long term ramifications from COVID is pretty small. And an athlete with that mindset is probably correct in that. But the NCAA doesn't care. The NCAA is going to be forcing testing for those not vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And if you get it, even if you have no symptoms whatsoever, you're done.
Yeah,
now, here in the Olympics, they don't care if you're vaccinated or not. They're still testing like crazy.
It just goes to show that we're just not out of the woods with our college football season. I know it's a different feel, and everything is back to normal with camps and all those things. Very, very much it feels back to normal, but we could see some major disruptions. I hope not. But we could.
And again, I mentioned this last week. There are some teams here in the state of Utah that have very, very, very poor vaccination rates. I mean, not great. And I'll keep them nameless, but there are some teams out there that have very poor vaccination rates. And we may see throughout the course of the season, if those numbers don't improve, players missing games and maybe even teams having to forfeit games.
I hope that we can get through this, bud.
I know. Even though we're packing the stands and everybody's welcome, let's get you into the stadium, We're not out of the woods on this.
Well, how about that British Open yesterday? Watching the finals.
Yeah, how great.
38,000 fans that are packed in, but the amount of testing. I would love to get Tony Finau on and just ask him how strenuous the testing was.
Yeah.
You know, that you got four members that could be in your hotel room and you couldn't leave. They couldn't go out for dinner. They couldn't go anywhere. But then you just pack that course with people.
Yeah.
I thought the whole thing was very interesting.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Hey, we are out and about today here at Premier Wave. Make sure to stop by 2505 East, 3300 South. Come by, grab jazz gear, and get some great information on if you're struggling with ED, what we can do to help you out. 385-360-WAVE, or stop by 2505 East, 3300 South. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
The Big Show. The Big Show with Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
I never thought Notre Dame would ever play the home game it owes BYU.
Be a reason.
They're Notre Dame. They don't really have to.
But why'd they sign the contract in the first place? They're supposed to hold up your end of the deal. One time I went to Ocean City with a bunch of my friends. A bunch of people were walking by. And we got to change into our beach gear. And so a couple of the guys were holding towels up. All of a sudden, one of them dropped the towel. You're not holding up your end of the deal here. We held up the towel for you. Now Notre Dame is dropping the towel. And there BYU sits naked as can be.
Oh, that was a long way to go to get there.
That was pretty lame. But the point is, Notre Dame should live up to that deal.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You've got the whole world in our hands.
We're about 10 minutes away from the great Craig Bullerjack joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. But it is time for another edition of Whole World News. We span the globe to try to find something that hopefully you like.
What do you want to hear about? A well-paying job to taste tacos, or a drug smuggling operation gone poorly?
Well, as much as I enjoy a good taco, I always like when the crimes go poorly.
Well, this one went poorly for a woman named Marcy Schaefer. She is a jailer, and she in South Carolina, working at the women's prison. And she's 43 years old, and she baked up a huge batch of Rice Krispies. And I guess it was well known that this woman would bring Rice Krispies in for, you know, some of the inmates and some of the her fellow workers and everybody that was there. Well, this time she happened to bake a bunch of ecstasy push a bunch of ecstasy pills into the Rice Krispies. Not bake it into it, but push the pills in. And as she was distributing the ones without the pills, somebody noticed the ones with the pills, and she got turned in and caught. I guess, at doing a little bit of research, Rice Krispie treats for like the last 5 years have been the most commonly baked or used good to sneak any type of narcotics into our prison system.
I could see how that would work. Like, you're not actually baking them.
Right.
You know, when you're putting them into a pan, you can work in whatever you need to work in there. Boom, mm-hmm. Off you go.
Yeah, you could put a knife in there, a chisel.
Yeah. A shiv.
if your buddy's being harassed.
You got to protect those Rice Krispie treats.
Look, it's just Rice Krispies. Can I just get to, like, see my buddy and give him this batch of Rice Krispies? It's an awkward-shaped pan. just want to give. It really is incredible, though, how drugs continue to find their way into our prison systems.
Why is this Rice Krispie in the shape of a hammer?
What?
Oh, man. I also did a little bit of research to find the most wacky forms of drugs being snuck into America. And some of the biggest ones, so pigeons, they put little backpacks on pigeons.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I you can actually Google the little backpack pigeons, and they fill the backpacks with drugs, and then the pigeons fly over the border.
At least they're not stapling it to them.
Yeah, no. Like the little hats.
That bugged me. That was in Vegas?
Yeah.
Oh. I still can't believe they stapled little sombreros hats. And cowboy hats. One group had sombreros, one group had cowboy hats, but a lot of pigeons had stapled hats on them. That's terrible. Drones have become a big one. They're hooking drugs to drones and
flying. That makes more sense than a pigeon.
And dropping it. They've been using art for a lot of years.
Like in a canvas?
Yep.
All right.
Yep. They'll it just comes across as some type of tradable or movable art. Mr. Potato Head was a big one.
Okay, that makes sense.
They stuffed Mr. Potato Head with it. And the craziest one I saw, this woman, she got implants, and in her implants,
stop it,
500 gram packages of cocaine in her implants. She was coming from Colombia, and when she got caught, she admitted to smuggling these drugs, citing that she was trying to provide for her three children in Colombia. She said
heart.
The drugs were surgically implanted by Colombian doctors, jam-packed with drugs, trying to get these.
She probably didn't have a lot of choice in that.
No, she probably didn't. But could you imagine? You've got these things in your body that are packed full of, you know, straight whatever it is. What's the most common drug out of Colombia? Is it?
Cocaine.
Cocaine?
Yep. The booger sugar.
It's not the heroin? The heroin? More commonly known as the booger sugar?
Actually, that's Lloyd's term. He stole that
from me. That's Hans's term. Hans came up with that one.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Lloyd. Well, I feel bad about stealing that from you.
No, it's fine, because I've steal things like I took like a honey one from you years ago, and I've taken a couple others from you.
That's true. I forgot about that. All right, we're live here at Premier Wave. You come by here and you can get some jazz gear. We got a bunch of jazz gear, hats, shirts, and now we've got some food. As Justin Johnson, the doctor here, has kindly provided a tremendous spread here. So you can come by and grab some lunch, too.
Definitely. It's catered. My mom used to own a catering business, so this is all handmade. Especially, got to try the little personal eclairs. They're awesome.
Come in, seriously. We've got a whole table, and you know, we don't
Hans
want
and I
you.
Are going to feel personally responsible to make this thing go, whether it's through ourselves or through listeners. So it's probably best if listeners come in and take care of it.
Yeah, let me put it this way. If you don't come and eat, I'm going to be forced to eat this thing, and I'll gain 10 to 15 pounds this week. So please keep me thin.
We've got some different sliders. We've got some ham and cheese sliders. We got turkey croissants. You've got a crab dip. We've got homemade Swedish meatballs.
Yes.
We've got the eclairs, as you've heard us talking about. So please come down, get some food, grab some jazz gear. Say hi to us. We'd love to see you.
And find out how, if you're struggling in the bedroom, you can get it taken care of. And the great opportunity to work with physicians. This is a physician-owned and operated facility where you're going to get the kind of personalized, customized treatment that you really need to make sure you get back to where you need to be.
Correct. Like I said, erectile dysfunction, it's kind of a broad term. Mostly talks about not being to perform to your max capacity. So that comes in varying stages. There's, you know, a lot of people who can't do it. Get an erection at all, but there's a lot of us who just have small problems, and this fixes all of that. And, you know, being that we're a physician-owned, I've personally come up with the treatment methods, the way to do it that's more effective, because I know the anatomy, and I've worked with the medical device company, so we've kind of tailored this. And plus, the other thing that's good about being physician-owned is we have multiple treatment methods, so not one treatment method fits everybody. Acoustic wave, as we all know, works really well, but it doesn't work for everybody. There's other non-surgical treatments and even surgical treatments that you can get that will help fix the problem.
385-360-WAVE, that's 9283. And the great thing is right now you've got a special opportunity for Zone listeners. You'll match anybody's price out there.
Yep, we feel so confident that we're the best, that we'll match any legitimate offer from any competitor. Just come check us out. Come see the place. Come eat some food. Get some jazz t-shirts. It'll be fun.
Let's go. Let's make it happen. 2505 East, 3300 South here in Salt Lake City. Or just call 385-360-WAVE. That's 385-360-9283 right here on the Zone Sports Network.